I don't usually do this, but I'm going to talk about Jared Rapp. He's one of our brothers here, one of the church family, been serving our military in Poland. Last week, his mother passed away. Jared's been away from his family. He came back. And when will you be going back to Poland? Tuesday. And he's here with us today. Let's just give him a round of applause to affirm him this morning. Well, it is good to see you today. You can be turning to the book of Nehemiah. Y'all doing okay today? Good. I've been going to the Old Testament to talk about new beginnings. Last week we talked about a new beginning from the book of Ruth, a book in the Old Testament. And so today we're going back to the Old Testament and talk about a new beginning from a book called Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a man who lived about 2,500 years ago, so he lived a long time ago. And you're probably wondering, what could he say to me today and my life? Well, he has a lot to say to us. And when you think about the new year, what we've been trying to emphasize is that it's never too late for a new beginning. And we talked about that last week, and I'm going to emphasize that today. That it's never too late for a new beginning in life. If there is one book in the Bible that speaks to rebuild or rebuilding, certainly, it is the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah wrote the book on rebuild. Now, a lot of times, you know this, if you've ever done any building or anything like that, that certainly it's easier probably to have start a new building than it is to rebuild an old building or something like that. It's not easy, but it can be done. And so what I want us to think about today, though, is this idea of rebuilding, and look at some of these principles found in the book of Nehemiah. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hekaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and who survived the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity and the providence are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Let's talk about rebuilding. Who among us here today is there that's not in a constant or occasional need of some kind of rebuild in their life? You know, I think about relationships that need to be rebuilt. I think about maybe a business that needs to be rebuilt. Maybe it's financial crises that needs to be rebuilt. I know we have many people in our congregation who are still trying to rebuild because of the loss of a loved one. So there's all kinds of situations and difficulties that come our way that really call for a rebuild. In other words, how am I going to make it through this? What kind of change do I need to make in my life because of the circumstance that I find myself in? And so all those occasions that come our way, some of them could be in our control, some of them are out of our control, but regardless of what brought us to where we are, I do think that occasionally we all are in need of of a rebuild for our lives. So I'm asking you today, what's undone in your life? What rebuild do you need to consider in your life? What's undone in my life? What rebuild do I need to work on in my life? And I know what I'm working on, and I really want to get there. And I think a new year, you know, gives us that opportunity of that new beginning. As I said last week, that's why I like the beginning of a new year, because it is that new start. It is the new beginning and new steps that we can take for the new year. So what I want to do today is talk to you about some principles that I hope that will be helpful to you and be practical as we look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah, like I said, lived a long time ago. This setting here takes place around 446 B.C. is when this took place. It was in November or December that word had come to Nehemiah that the walls of Jerusalem were still broken down, that the temple still hadn't been rebuilt, and the city was just in rubble. And so that was the situation that he found himself in. King Solomon had been a great king, but before Nehemiah, Solomon had died. The kingdom of Israel was now divided. You had the northern kingdom, you had the southern kingdom. So things were just not in a good situation here in the city of Jerusalem. So his brother or someone close to him, other people, came to Nehemiah. And they brought him the report of what was going on in Jerusalem. So I want to take these principles of how he looked at that situation to apply to any situation in our life where we need to rebuild. The walls needed to rebuild. The city of Jerusalem needed to be rebuilt. And so what needs to be rebuilt in my life? What walls need to rebuild? I need to rebuild. What is it in my life that I need to look at? So number one is this. What Nehemiah did was this. He made an honest evaluation of the situation. Now, when we look at a rebuild, that's what we're talking about. Wherever I am in my life, if I want that new start, I want that new beginning, I want things to be different, I want this new direction for my life, then it's going to take without honest evaluation. And that's what Nehemiah had to do. What Nehemiah had to do was to face the facts. Now, folks, here's the facts. And that's what his brother told him about the report that came from Jerusalem. Here's the facts. Here's what you're looking at. Here's what it's going to take to rebuild. There was a time in Israel, and the Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah, that what the prophets were doing, they were preaching a message of peace, peace. And basically, what they were doing was just glossing over the situation because there was no peace. I mean, there was difficulty. There was trouble. There was situations in Jerusalem that were very, life-threatening to people who lived there. And you had these people saying, there's peace, peace, peace. Well, that's similar to what we do in a lot of ways. We may look at a situation in our life, and rather than to make that honest evaluation in our life, then what we do is we kind of gloss over it, or we take a different approach. And, I'm all about being positive, and I'm all about having a positive attitude and all that kind of thing. But there are times in life when we need to make that honest evaluation. Now, I think about the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. And what Nicodemus needed in his life was a new birth. He needed to be born again. He needed a new heart. And so at times in our life, I think what we need to do is the same thing Nicodemus had to do, is to make that honest evaluation in our life. Now, the greatest need in Nicodemus's life was to be born again. And so he had to make that honest evaluation in his life that, religion for him wasn't getting it done. That wasn't, going to be the answer to what he needed. So he had to come to that place of making that honest evaluation. So there may be those here today. Maybe that's the honest evaluation that you need to make, you know, that you need Christ, that you need a Savior, you need to be born again, you need a new heart. Now, for some of that, us, that's not the evaluation that we need to make. However, I can look at my life as a believer and I might say, well, you know, there's a crack in my wall spiritually. I can look at my life and say, well, you know, there's a stone out of place here that I need to, you know, give consideration to. Maybe it's in my prayer life. Maybe it's in my attitude. Maybe it's my level of commitment or whatever it may be. You know, I may not need to rebuild the whole wall, but I can look at my life spiritually and say, hey, I just really, really need to take an honest evaluation of the situation here. Now, see, that's how you get started right. That's what we're talking about this morning. In order to have that new beginning, it's important to get started right. So where do we get started right? We get started right by making that honest evaluation of you know, the situation that's going on. And you know what? That's a hard place to start. You know why? Because sometimes that can be very, very painful. It was painful for Nehemiah. It's painful for us in our lives at times when we take that honest evaluation and we know it's going to be difficult, but this is the way to get started. Number two, what he did was to identify the need. If you look at it in verse 4 here, the Bible tells us what he did. The Bible said when he heard the report from Jerusalem that he sat down, that he wept, he mourned for many days, fasting and praying to the God of heaven. And so, for Nehemiah, I say this was not a faraway problem. This was a situation where he identified with the need. Jerusalem was his hometown. Jerusalem was where his heart was. He had a love for the people there. He had a love for the temple. He had a love for, you know, everything about Jerusalem. That's where his passion was. He was passionate about it. And so what the Bible says is that gives us the example that we're to follow is this, that he sat down. In other words, he wasn't going to make a hasty decision about what he needed to do. What he's doing here is identifying the need. Now again, you know, identifying the need is a very painful process because a lot of times in identifying the need, it brings us right back to ourselves. Nehemiah was in a situation where he could have blamed a lot of people for the situation in Jerusalem. He could have blamed King Jehoiakim. He could have blamed all the other bad kings that had been in Jerusalem, but he didn't do that. What he's doing here is making an honest evaluation. What he's doing here is identifying with the need. He's looking at it here. And what Nehemiah is doing is he's drawing strength from without, from, you know, outside himself. The Bible tells us that he's fasting, that he's praying before the God of heaven. And so that's where it brings us. How come it is that the last thing we usually do is pray? When prayer should be the first thing we do in trying to evaluate ourselves, when we're trying to, you know, have this rebuild in our life, when we're trying to refocus, you know, the thing we need to be doing most of all is praying and you know, fasting, spending time with God. He's weeping, he's mourning. He has a passion about this thing. And so here's what I see here. Before any rebuild can take place in your life and my life, you know what there has to be? There has to be a brokenness and there has to be a passion. What worked in the life of Nehemiah for him to do what he did in this rebuild was to have this brokenness and to have this passion. You see it here. He is generally weeping. The Bible tells us for days his heart was broken because of the situation. So it just brought him to his knees in this place of brokenness. Have you ever been broken? Have you ever been to that place of brokenness in your life? That's where Nehemiah was. And so we get there, and then we realize that the help has to come from beyond us. And so what does he do? He's praying to the God of heaven. He's praying for the one that can help him in his time of brokenness. He's praying to the one that's given him this passion for what he's all about and the love that he had for Jerusalem. So he identified the need. How broken are you? How much passion do you have about the rebuild in your life? You see, what kills us a lot of times is this. The reason we're not passionate about it because we get apathetic about it. And we fall in this ditch of apathy and we stay there and we say, well, you know, I don't need anything. It's not me that needs a closer walk with God. It's not me that needs to put that stone back in place. It's not me that has that crack in the wall. And so, you know, he had a passion about this thing to where he was going to get down and honest with God about the situation. Number three, here's the third principle we see, and that is that he took personal responsibility. Now, I'm not going to read all these verses, but if you want to read a great example of what prayer is, you can read verses 5 through 11. And what a great prayer this is. And what he's doing here is he's taking a personal responsibility here. Like I said, he's not blaming the other kings. He's not blaming Ezra. He's not blaming the other people, you know, who tried to rebuild the walls or tried to rebuild Jerusalem at this point. But he's taken personal responsibility here. If you drop down in verse 6 there, in the latter verse, the latter part of that verse, you see a personal word here that he uses, I. And then verse 7, we. I have sinned. We have sinned. And so see, he's not blaming other people. When we get serious about a rebuild, and we get serious about a new beginning, then we come to this place of personal responsibility. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And so here's where he's at. He's not playing the blame game. He's not blaming everybody else for his situation, but what he's doing is he's just taking the responsibility here. It's the, I've sinned, Lord. We have sinned. We're all in this together. And so here's where he is. But you see, you'll never have that new beginning as long as you want to blame your past. You'll never have that new beginning as long as you want to blame everybody else. I mean, that's just not how this works. And so the same is true in our life when we want that spiritual new beginning, when we want that new start, when we want to get started right, this is where it brings us. It brings us to this very place. And that's where Nehemiah is. You know, he's doing that. And then a third principle, a fourth principle I want to show you here from the story. If you look at the last verse in this chapter, what Nehemiah did was this, is to move out of his comfort zone. Because here's what Nehemiah said. Nehemiah said, I was the cupbearer of the king. Nehemiah is saying by that statement that he's not a prophet. He's not a preacher. He's not this great man of God in the Old Testament that's identified with some title. But what he's saying here, I'm just an ordinary man. But now in his position of cupbearer to the king, he had it made. He was in a place of privilege. He was in a place of wealth. Do you realize that to be the cupbearer of the king, what you did was you tasted the food or tasted the wine before it was given to the king. Back in those days, you know, if you, you know, had something against the king, then one of the ploys was to poison the king and get rid of it. Well, the cupbearer would taste the food and drink the wine to make sure that no one had poisoned the food or poisoned the wine that he drank. And so that's what Nehemiah was. He was a civil servant, to put it in today's terminology. He was a government worker. He did his job. But what that brought to him, though, it brought him a special relationship with the king. Many times in history, what we're told is that these cupbearers became a great confidant of the king. And so that was his position. He had whatever he needed, whatever, you know, cares he had were taken care of and all that. I mean, this was God had made. But you know what he had to do? In order to do what he did in this rebuild, he had to move out of his comfort zone. Let me ask you today, are you ready to move out of that comfort zone? See, a lot of the comfort zones we have are self-imposed. And we build those. And I have mine, and I know at times, you know, it's hard to, it's once you get that comfort zone established, you know, it's hard to step out of there. And it's hard to do that. I grew up here in East Tennessee. Growing up in East Tennessee, you know what, you know, Tennessee football is all about and everything like that. But I was reading this story this week that I found very interesting. In 1906, there was a team in St. Louis, Missouri, that had moved out of the comfort zone of the game of football that had been established for years and years and years. Before 1906, what football was, it was 3 yards and a cloud of dust. In 1906, the forward pass was legalized in football. That year, when the forward pass was legalized, there was only one team that used it, and that was the University of St. Louis. And that year, they outscored their opponents like 400 to 12. You had some of those coaches and teams who said, we're not going to move out of our comfort zone. We're going to stay with 3 yards and a cloud of dust. We're not going to get in there. There's a famous coach from Texas, and I've forgotten his name in reading this book. But he said, when you throw a forward pass, he said, four things can happen. One is a good thing, it can be completed, but the other three are bad things, you know, that could happen when you do that. And so you see what people had to do. They had to take the risk to step out of that comfort zone. And of course, when teams did that, that changed the game of football forever. It's a risky thing when you step out of your comfort zone to rebuild. It really is. When you say that I'm going to put that stone back in place, or I'm going to work on that crack in my wall, it can be a scary thing. It really can. When I say in my life that I'm going to do what I need to do to rebuild whatever's undone, whatever that is that's undone that I'm going to rebuild, you may have to step out of your comfort zone to do that. Many years ago, Jesus Christ stepped out of his comfort zone. He came to this world. He did what Nehemiah did. He saw the need. He saw that our greatest need was for a Savior. He identified with us. One occasion, the Bible says that Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem. You know what he did? He wept. Just like Nehemiah did here, he wept. Jesus wept. And then he went and he died on the cross for our sin. And thinking about the walls and rebuilding, there's this verse that I ran across in the book of Isaiah. Listen to it and then I'll close. This is Isaiah 49, verse 15. The Lord says this, I will not forget you. He's talking to you, he's talking to me, he's not going to forget us. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. And here's what got my attention about this verse. Your walls are continually before me. God knows what the walls are. God knows what's broken down. He knows where the cracks are. He knows the stones that need to be replaced. God knows, and He sees those. You know who is the great wall builder? It's Jesus Christ. You know who can heal a broken heart, broken wall? Jesus Christ. You know who identifies with us when we have those painful, broken moments in life to where we need to rebuild? It's Jesus Christ. You know why? Because He has been there before. The Bible says that when we pray that we have a great high priest in heaven who can be touched with our feelings. He knows your brokenness. He knows the pain. He knows the difficulty. And He can rebuild those walls in your life. Let's stand together for our prayer. Lord, today we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the principles that we find here from the life of Nehemiah. And when we think about these principles today, we think about how to have a new beginning, how to have a good start, how to get started right, whatever we want to call it, these principles are found right here. So, Lord, today I pray that each and every one of us would take that honest evaluation. Lord, today I pray that in thinking about this message today, that we would identify the need, we'd recognize the need, and take responsibility. And Lord, we're going to have to move out of our comfort zone. That's all it is. Father, there are those this morning who need to take that step. They need to come to Christ today. They've got a comfort zone. They're comfortable there. But Lord, I pray that they would see their need for Christ today. They would step away from whatever it is and say, Lord, I want to be saved today. I pray that they would come. Lord, as believers today, we all have cracks. We all have stones that are missing. Lord, we just bring our brokenness to You today. We bring our wall to You today. We bring our city to You today. And Lord, we just say, Father, we need Your healing. God, today I pray that You'd do in this service and what only You can do. Pray healing today and just, Lord, Your touch today that can heal the brokenness and can comfort the pain. And that can do only what You can do. In Your name we pray. Amen.